We're going to dismiss the children for our children's church. Our pastor has been at Dallas Theological Seminary this week and asked me to preach today. He said that he learned in the seminary that you should speak about people in the Bible so that we can apply applications to ourselves based on those people. I'm going to do better than that. I'm going to talk about me this morning. And then you'll see how our lesson comes together. Let me tell you a little bit about me, just a little bit. Some of you I've known for 15 or 20 years, and some of you are brand new and don't know much about me. So I'll use some words to describe me, and some of them are very descriptive and precise, and others are very general. For example, I could say that I'm an American. Maybe I won't say that. But you know, that doesn't describe me very well, because if I were born and raised in Canada, I could also say that I'm an American, because they are from North America. Or if I were from Mexico, a Mexican, I could say that I'm an American, because they also are a part of a North America. In fact, is the name of Mexico, official name is the United States of Mexico. If I were from Buenos Aires, Argentina, I could also say that I am an American, because I am from the Americas. So a little more precise, I can say that I'm a Texan. I can say, whether you like it or not, that I'm an Aggie. I could say that I am a Southwesterner, and that means that I graduated from the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth. I could say that I am a Republican, and if that offends you, well, my mother is a Democrat. I could also say that I lean toward being a libertarian. I won't explain that. Most of you know what that means. For 25 years of my life, I was a Baptist. For 25 years of my life, I was a Methodist. And for the rest of my life, and you can figure out how many years that is, I've been a non-denominationalist. Okay? I am also a Busbytarian, which means that I sit at the feet of David Busby and learn from him. But most important, and the only thing that really matters, is I'm a Christian. And that's a short summary of who I am, and that takes us into our lesson today, and we'll begin with prayer. Father, my prayer is that your word will fill the hearts and the spirits of those here this morning, that they might apply to their own lives, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our lesson is taken from Acts chapter 11, verse 26, a very simple and short verse. But I'm going to begin reading in verse 19 so that you can see the setting. So we're in Acts chapter 11, starting with verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen, his death, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks, Gentiles, also telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad, and he encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and grace and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Paul, for Saul, before he was named Paul, for Saul. And when they found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. And here's the verse. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. It was the first time that anyone was ever called a Christian. Fact is, they were called disciples during the entire life of Jesus. A disciple is a student that sits at the feet of someone. Saul was a disciple of the Rabbi Gamaliel. I think that's how you pronounce it, Gamaliel. And others were sitting at the feet of Jesus, who they thought was a rabbi. Many people thought he was a rabbi. And he taught them by the example of his life and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that word doesn't really describe who these people were who were following Christ, because disciple could be anyone. I said I was a disciple of David Busby, for example. This morning you're a disciple of mine because I am teaching you and you are learning. After Christ departed and was ascended into heaven, they were often called apostles. An apostle is someone who then was a student who now becomes a teacher. They were to go out and teach others. So the word disciple was not completely accurate in describing someone who had a bond with Christ. Well, another word that was used was the word saints. Saints was used and has been used in many different ways, and so it doesn't exactly describe who we are. For many years, a saint was a dead person who had done extraordinary things in his life, and they were given a very special place in heaven. In fact, there are some people in New Orleans that are called saints. They play football. They played last night. And so you can't say that I'm a saint, because sometimes that has a negative connotation. You know, well, he's just better, thinks he's better than I am. So I don't want to be just called a saint. I mean, I am a saint. You're either a saint or you ain't. It's what Scripture says, that we are saints. We're set apart to serve our Lord. In other words, they were called brethren. And we call ourselves brothers and sisters. But you know, there's a lot of groups and organizations that call themselves brothers. There's the Brotherhood. Even some gangs call themselves Brotherhood. And so maybe that's not the word that I want to go around telling people that I'm a brother. By the way, the relationship is not one to another, but our relationship to God the Father. I have two brothers. Some of you are my brothers and sisters. I'm really closer to you than I am to my blood brothers. And the way some Christians act, I'd rather be closer to a non-Christian than to some of my Christians. Brothers. However, we are told that we are known by the company that we keep. And so if I really am close to the Lord, then I would be close to my brothers also. Other words they were used to describe a person who followed Christ were the faithful, the people of the way, the elect. But this verse says in verse 26, wrong chapter. Okay. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Who called them Christians, we don't know. The Scripture doesn't say. It could have been the people from Antioch who saw these people. You know, some commentators say it might have been God who was the one who called them Christians. And some think that it was done in contempt. Well, you're just a follower of this so-and-so, a make-believe person. So we don't know who called them Christians for the first time. But why they were called Christians, I think we can identify very easily. These people from Antioch who saw the Christians saw that their ways were different from others. They didn't involve themselves in the amusements of the local community there at Antioch. They didn't really care about riches and business. That wasn't a part of their lifestyle. They were industrious. They were straightforward. They were honest. And they avoided and detested sin completely. And so these heathen people were astonished. And they said, well, who taught them this lifestyle? Who gave them this newfangled view of wealth and pleasure and sin? Who told them not to worship other gods? Well, the answer was that Christ told them that the world and its beauty would soon pass away, but that there was a new heaven and a new earth that would be far better. This Jesus taught them not to think of the world's wealth because he's given us a treasure in heaven. This Jesus taught them to look for higher pleasures and to beware of the world's pleasures because it could lead them to sin and death. And lastly, this Jesus taught them to, above all, to know and to hate sin and not to give in to their gods, the pagan gods, because it would lead to death. And so the people from Antioch would say, this is your God? And they would say, yes, we are his. So they said, you are Christians. And that's the first time. But what is a Christian? And that's the question that I want to try to answer for you this morning. You hear of people called all kinds of things, you know, Americans and Democrats and Baptists and bikers and atheists and you name it, there's a word. But if I had to ask you to give me a definition of a Christian, then I wonder what that answer would be. It isn't enough to say, well, I'm a member of so-and-so church, because many, if not most, church members are not Christian. You may find that easy to accept or hard to accept. I believe that in all my heart. It isn't enough to say that a Christian is someone who holds a high office in a church, elder or deacon, because there are some elders and there are some deacons that will hear Jesus say in the last day, I never knew you. It isn't enough to say that you're a Christian because you are a pastor. There are pastors whose works will be burned up on the last day, and Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me. That's hard to accept, but it's true. So what is a Christian? Is it someone who follows the teaching of Christ? You know, Christ has had a pretty good gave us a pretty good set of ethics to follow and morals to follow. But you know what? So did Confucius, and he was a professor and a teacher. He taught them very high ideals for living. And someone who followed Confucius was called a Confucianist. Or a confusion, I want to say. But if I were to change that name to Jesus, and you're trying to follow the teachings of Jesus, I don't think that would be a good description of what a Christian is. You know, there are many people that know that Jesus was a person. I asked a Jew on an airplane one time, he was sitting beside me, I was doing a Bible study, he asked, was I a pastor? I said, no, I was in a Bible study. And, his wife, he said, was a Lutheran, and they were studying Matthew. His wife was. I said, well, who do you think Jesus is? And he said, well, he's a great teacher. And then I opened my mouth and said, he taught that he was the Messiah. Do you believe that? He said, no, he's just a great teacher. I said, how could you call him a great teacher if you don't believe what he teaches? The conversation ended right there. He didn't want to go any further, and I was ready, but that kind of ended it. Well, some people would answer, what is a Christian? Well, it's one who believes in Jesus Christ. Pretty good definition? Well, not exactly, because Satan believes in Jesus Christ. The Jews believe in Jesus Christ. There are many evil people who believe that Jesus existed, that he was a real person. And so you may believe in him and never know him and end up in the pits of hell. Well, you could say a Christian is someone who believes on Jesus Christ. And those of us who are Christians and who know God's word and who have come to know Jesus Christ will say that that's a pretty good definition. So what is the difference between believing in and believing on? I've told a story before, but I think it fits here. When I was 14 or 15 years old, a man in the little town where I lived wanted me to help him clean out his well. Now, then you didn't have a pipe with a motor on the top, but you just had a hole in the ground about this round. And this hole that I was going to help him clean out was probably 40 or 50 feet deep. There was a rope. It was strong. There was a pulley. It was perfect. And there was a bucket that was well built. And I believed in them. But that didn't lure me into the well until I grabbed hold of the bucket and they lowered me into that well. That was believing on. It was kind of frightening down there because you're standing in water and there's all kind of sand and mud and you're trying to get it into this bucket and they're hoisting this bucket up. It's right above your head, probably weighs 50 or 100 pounds and it's blocking the light. And if the rope were to fail, I would be buried. They wouldn't have to dig a hole. I would be buried right there. That was believing on, trusting on, because I had committed myself to that rope and to that bucket and to that pulley. And so that's a pretty good definition, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I looked up several definitions of Christian. I went to a website called ChristianTolerance.org. And that definition said, a Christian is anyone who thinks he's a Christian. That's pretty tolerant, isn't it? That's not what a Christian is. A Christian is a person who is attempting to live in accordance with Christ's teaching, who puts his trust and his faith in Christ. To know him personally through this faith, who becomes a new creation, who has a heart transplant, who is regenerated, who gives up an old way of life, who changes, who becomes something and someone new, who begins to understand what life is about, and that's about Christ. Well, let me give you some negative answers about what a Christian is not. A Christian is not someone that necessarily comes from a family of Christians. Your mother can be a saint, and your father may have been the priest of your home, and you may be lost. There's a lot of homes like that. So my mother's faith cannot save me, and my father's priesthood and his righteousness cannot be imputed to me. I, as an individual, have to become a Christian on my own. A Christian is not necessarily someone who subscribes to a creed. In some churches, they say the Apostles' Creed out loud every Sunday. Some say the Nicene Creed, and they may accept it and believe in it. But you know what? Creeds don't make us Christians. You may agree with it. You may agree with our own statement of faith in this church and be lost. Lost as a lizard, and end up in the lake of hell. A Christian is not necessarily someone who comes to church every Sunday, and Sunday school every Sunday, and Bible study every Wednesday night, and goes to all the youth camps, and attends everything that comes along. You may know a little bit about Jesus and his character, but that's not enough. A Christian is not someone who uses Christianese, godly words, and says godly prayers and lofty prayers, because it's not a matter of talking. It's a matter of living that life. It's not someone who claims membership in a church, 25 years a Methodist, 25 years a Baptist, and a few years as a non-denominationalist. You know, I can be a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a Catholic, but denominations don't save. It's being united, not with the church, but with Jesus. By saving faith that makes you and me a true follower of him. So what then is a Christian? The scripture says the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Why? Because those people who were called Christians probably reminded those who were looking at them of Jesus Christ. And so, if you are reminding your household of Jesus, if you're reminding your wife or your husband of Jesus Christ, if your life reminds your friends of Jesus Christ, if the look in your eye and the touch of your hand and the ring in your voice reminds others of Jesus Christ, then I will enjoy being around you because I believe that you have come to know him and that you are a Christian. Not everybody I run into that calls himself a Christian is like that. What a shame. If we are ambassadors for Christ and we're not representing him well, we're doing a disservice to him. Carol reviews my messages, my sermons, and she asked me not to use this part. I'll test you and see. Carol, just forget this here, okay? A little girl was once asked what it was to be a Christian. And she answered, "It is just to do what Jesus would do if he was a little girl and lived at our house." I like that. Are you living a life that Christ would live if he were living at your home? A Christian is one who responds to Christ. The beginning of a great definition of Christian. You hate evil. You long to see Jesus. You long for his return, to think of him, to listen to his word, to yield to his commandments, to represent him, to obey him. That's a Christian. Have you ever considered Jesus? It's a question that you have to address in your own life. We know he existed. I'm going to tell you, without Christ in your life, there can be no harmony. There will be hate. There will be this God hole that only Christ can fill. And when he fills it, the hole will disappear. You will find peace there. You will find joy there. You won't be able to understand it. And you may say, "Well, but I don't really know Jesus. What do..." Well, then you have to answer this question. Who do you think Jesus is? You may call yourself a Christian and have doubts. But I would say that many people who call themselves Christians spend more time listening to the suggestions and counsel of Oprah Winfrey and Dr. Phil than they do to the words of Christ that are found in his word. You haven't been fair to Jesus, have you? So how do you become a Christian? You recognize there is a hole. You recognize that your life has been lived forever with pain, with something that just isn't there. You can try to fill it with wealth and health, with family, with your hobbies, with your work, with whatever pleasures you think will fill it, and you'll find that it is a waste. there's a need. Number two, you have to recognize that you are a sinner, that you are doing things. And by the way, you sin because you want to. And then you become addicted to it, and you become a slave to that sin. You have to recognize that there is sin in your life. Then you have to accept the fact of Christ. I like what Jeff Hayes has said. I can't see Christ, but I know He's there. And so I have shaken hands and said, Jesus Christ, You say that You will save me if I follow You. So I'm taking You up on that. I'm shaking hands with You. We have an agreement. Accept the fact of Christ. Just believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And so, the impression that we leave on others should be that we belong to Christ. If someone were looking on the outside of your life, then he would not be able to see necessarily that deep bond that you have and love that you have for Christ. But if you, without using your words, and the way that you live were dropped in the middle of Peking, China, I would hope that the Chinese would look for a word to describe you, and I would hope that that word would be Christian. If they don't, then there's trouble. You know, Paul went to great lengths to convince his listeners, don't follow me. If you follow me, you'd be called a Paulite. If you follow Peter, you'd be called a Peterite. If you follow John, you're a Johnite. If you followed Barnabas, a Barnabite. Barnacle. And yet people didn't listen. Well, we follow Apollo and we follow Peter. No, you follow Christ. And so I gave you a description of myself. But the only one word that counts, that I care, that you know, or that I care to know about you. I don't care where you're from, how you vote, what your education is, what your job is, whether you're rich or poor, old or young, tall or short. All I care about is to know that you're a Christian. And when I look out at you, and my desire then is to see Christ in each one of you. Randall, if y'all will come on up. You know, you may not know it, but this afternoon at 3:30 on TV, there's going to be a Christian. And he's going to put on, you're going to see him perform. He's a strong man. He's a brother of yours, and so you need to support him. There probably will be 20 million people in America watching him this afternoon. He's the quarterback of the Denver Broncos. He prays during the game, I know before and I know after, when they lost their one big game here a few weeks ago, a reporter said, well, God must not have answered his prayers. You know, that reporter has no idea what his prayers were. I think I know what his prayer is, and he didn't tell me. He's saying, when he's on his knees, Lord, I want you to be glorified. I want you to be honored. I want whatever happens here to me or to this team or the people that are watching this game, I want you to be honored. And you know what? They are honored. And the world looks at him and they hate him. But you know what? They're going to say, that man is a Christian. Because his lifestyle is just like the lifestyle of those people at Antioch who learned and who studied under Barnabas and Paul. They were Christians. Their walk and their talk, their thoughts and their questions were all godly. And they demonstrated righteousness. And so I don't care whether you root for the Denver Broncos or not today. That's not what's important. But you better root for Tim Tebow because he is a brother of yours. And the world is watching him, and the world wants him to fail. I say he's not going to fail. And we need to be there behind him in spirit. And you know what? Because he would be behind us in spirit, wanting us not to fail. So I don't want any of us to fail. And so if a group of non-Christians walked into this church and saw us, I would hope that they would say, there's a group of Christians. By the way that we act, our thoughts, and the love that we have one for another. I would ask you that if you're not a Christian, I don't know who is and who is not, that you would think about this. That you would decide it's time to fill that big old hole that's in your heart. If there's special needs you want to pray about, well, I know Jeff is here and I'm here. Come on up and we'll pray with you. Let's stand, please.